So we'll start from the very beginning. Daf Bet Amud Aleph. That's I'm sure none of us around the table know if we're going to be learning the Daf the whole way through the cycle. But still, I wanted us to start with a share today by learning it, just to have a sense that we can identify with the aspirations of those who want to know all of Shas, or to be familiar with all of Shas. And it's like with any learning project that we take on, that it doesn't matter whether we're trying to learn all of Talmud Bavli, whether we're trying to learn all of Shas Mishnayot, whether we're trying to master, you know, Shulchan Aruch, or just to know Tanakh, whatever it is. These aspirations are all very good for us. So let's start at the very beginning. Ma'ema tai korin et shema ba'arvin. From what time, and we learnt this Mishnah yesterday afternoon, that's between Mincha and Ma'ariv, but from what time do we read the Shema in the evening? People who know the Mishnayot will be very familiar with the fact that, of course, in the Mishnayot, it says ba'arvit in Hebrew. Here in the Gemara, for various reasons, it says ba'arvin. So we're starting off with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and of course there is a discussion about the whole mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, that's in what way is it a mitzvah d'oraita, in what way is it a mitzvah midrabanan. That's in the Pesukim, it says V'dibarta bam and v'shinantam levanecha. That it doesn't say exactly what it is. V'dibarta bam is what is it that you should actually say? According to some Rishonim, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is simply a mitzvah to say psukim every day, that's sort of be involved in Talmud Torah and that sort of thing. And it was Chazal that said it's specifically these psukim and parashiyot that we have to say. But there are other Rishonim who say that no, in actual fact, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema midoraita is to say the parashiyot that we do say. That's the Vilna Gaon raises a question on the word korin. That's the word korin means that we have to read. But if we look further on in the Gemara, that we find that with the brachot of Kriyat Shema, that so the lashon is a bit different with regard to the brachot. That's in the brachot. That's koret shema. It says there that hakoret shema mavarech shtaim lefaneha shtaim laachareha. A person, it's in the single who says Shema, has to say brachot before and after it. So the Vilna Gaon asked the question, why do we have, with regard to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, it's korin in the plural, whereas with regard to the brachot of Kriyat Shema, it's kore in the singular. And he says, this teaches us that korin, that means that every single person has to do it. Whereas with the brachot of Kriyat Shema, you can have one person do it on behalf of other people. The mechanism of shomer ka'oneh, that's of one per, like, you know, like we have with, you know, kiddush on Friday night, shomer ka'oneh. One person says kiddush, and everybody else listens and is yotzei with that. So with brachot, you can generally do that. That's, so therefore, with the brachot, it's a hakoreh shema mevarech. That's, you know, one person can say the bracha, and everybody else can listen. And it's clear that from the Rishonim, from the Shulchan Aruch, that's the way they used to daven in the olden times, that one person would say the brachot, and everybody would sit around and say amen. When it comes to saying the Shema itself, everybody has to say it. Why is it that everybody has to say it? Rav Soloveitchik explains, because there are two dinim in Kriyat Shema. One is the din of Kriya, one is a din of reading it, and the other is a din of Kavana, a din of focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a din of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, accepting upon yourself the yoke of heaven, and you can't have somebody else accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven on your behalf. Even if you're listening to what they say, you have to say it yourself. In actual fact, it's a machloket in the Rishonim and in the Akronim, many poskim say that even with Kriyat Shema, that you can listen to somebody else say it and have the Kavanah, but the Gra learns out from this Lashon of Korin in the plural, there's everybody has to say Shema by themselves, and they can't be Yotzei through the mechanism of Shomer Ka'oneh. The Tiferet Yisrael, in his commentary on the Mishnah, points out that it could have said Me'ematai Omrin, that's et Shema Ba'arvit. That's from when do we say the Shema? Why does it particularly say Korin. That's why it's there a Lashon of Kriya. So Kriya implies doing something out loud. At least the first line of Shema should be said out loud in a loud voice. It's a din of Kriya rather than just saying it in what the Siddurim sometimes call an undertone. I'm concerned there are not enough people here eating croissants. They are over there. They are to be eaten. You are welcome to multitask. So in any event, our question is, so from what time do we read the Shema in the evening? From the time that the Kohanim come in to eat their truma, and as we said yesterday, we'll see at the bottom of the Amud that this means ad sof ha'ashmura harishona, until the end of the first watch of the night, until the end of the first third of the night, that's when you've got the time to say Kriyat Shema. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim omrim ad chatzot. The Chachamim say you can only say Kriyat Shema until chatzot, until halachic midnight. Now there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, that's this view of the Chachamim, where the Chachamim say that you can only say Shema till midnight. That's, it's clear that the Chachamim that say that min haTorah you can say Shema until Amud HaShachar, which is what Rabban Gamliel says. The question is, when the Chachamim say you can only say Shema until midnight, does that mean that lachatchila you have to say Shema by midnight? But if you didn't say it by midnight, then you can still say it after midnight, and you will have still fulfilled the mitzvah. You just won't have done what you should do lachatchila. Or does it mean that Chachamim that cancelled any fulfillment of the mitzvah after midnight, meaning that if you forgot to say Shema till midnight, then there's no point whatsoever saying it even after midnight, because Chachamim said no, you've got to say it till midnight, and we no longer allow you to be yotzei even on a doraita level that's after midnight. So that's a machloket in the Rishonim, and therefore the question will be, is there any point? You get home, that's after midnight, you, I don't know, your wife's just had a baby or something something like that. You didn't get a chance to say Shema, you get home after midnight, and is there any point in saying Shema now, because has the time for the mitzvah expired, or is there still, at least on a biblical level, an opportunity to do the mitzvah? Rabban Gamliel omer ad she'alam utashacha. Rabban Gamliel says you can say Shema until daybreak. And Marse Uvalva Navi Beit HaMishneh, it once happened that his children came home from a wedding party or the like. Amru Lo, they said to him, Lo karinu et Shema, we haven't said Shema yet. That's, again, as I pointed out yesterday, that's usually the type of thing that you don't tell your father when you get home very late. You don't say, oh, I forgot to daven Maariv as well. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Lo alamot ha-shachar, chayavim atem likrot. If it's not yet daybreak, then you've got a chiyuv to say Shema. The Lord's Bezubil Vad Amru, and this isn't the only case where they said these dinim, Ela Kol Masha Amru Chachamim Ad Chatzot, but there are a number of instances where Chachamim said a mitzvah has to be done by midnight, but in reality, Mitzvatan Ad She'ala Amud HaShachar. The mitzvah, at least on a biblical level, is until Amud HaShachar, is until daybreak. That's examples are Hekdech Halavim Ve'Ivarim, offering up the fats and the limbs on the Mizbeach, which were done every night after all the leftover bits from the day's korbanot were offered up. Mitzvatan ad she'al amud hashachar. You've really got the whole night in which you can offer them up. That's v'chol ha'ne'achalim liyom echad, and you've got various korbanot which have to be eaten on the same day that they're offered up. So when does that day end? Ad she'al amud hashachar. You've got until daybreak. The next morning. So in Kain Lama Amru Chachamim Ad Chatzot. Why did the Chachamim say that you've got to do these things by Chatzot? Kedei Laharchik Adam Min Ha'Aveira, to prevent a person from doing an Aveira, meaning that we never want to give the person the leeway, certainly with a nighttime mitzvah, that, oh, you know, I've always got time to do it later, because, you know, we want to have a buffer zone, because if you feel you've got till the morning to do it, then you might never get round to doing it. If you feel you've got a bit of urgency to get it finished by a particular time, then you're more likely to be zariz, you're more likely to hurry and do it. So, Tana Heichakai. That, which literally means, where was the Tana of this Mishnah standing? Meaning, the author of this Mishnah started learning, Meimatai Korinet Shema Ba'arvin, you know, it's sort of in the middle of a sentence. That's, I mean, you know, you never start off, you know, discussion, bump into somebody and say, ah, well, when do we, you know, yeah, what time do we say Shema in the evening? In terms of, it needs to follow on from something. I mean, sometimes you do have people who just come out with random statements, you know, all over the place, and, you know, we were talking about something totally different. Why are you saying that? That's, but essentially, things need to follow on in a logical conclusion. So the Tana must have been thinking about the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in some sense already, but wants to try and establish now what the details are of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So Tana Heichakai. That's what was the Tana dealing with. Diktani me'imatai, that was motivated now to ask, from when do we read the Shema? The two, and furthermore, we've got another question. Maishna datani ba'arvit bereisha, what's the reason that we learn about the evening Shema first? Lichnei deshachrit bereisha, we should learn about the shachrit Shema first. Now, why should we learn about the shachrit Shema first? Look at Tosfot, just the fourth wide line in the Tosfot, nice short Tosfot. Lichnei deshachrit bereisha, k'da'ashkecham betamid, because we find with the tamid, the daily offerings in the Beit Hamikdash, dichtiv shel boker techila, where the morning sacrifice is mentioned first. And we find in terms of the sacrificial day starts in the morning. That's, we know that, we'll touch on this in just a moment, the halachic day starts in the evening, but the sacrificial, or what perhaps one might say the ritual day, begins in the morning. So if the ritual day begins in the morning, I might have thought we should start off with the din of Kriyat Shema of the morning. So we answer Tana Akrakai. The Tana was referring to the Pasuk. What does the pasuk say? B'shoch b'chav kumecha. You should say these words. B'shoch b'chav kumecha. When you lie down and when you get up. So we see that, first of all, it's telling us that there's a mitzvah of saying Shema b'shoch b'cha when you go to sleep, when you lie down. So I want to know that me'imatai, when does that time begin? You know, if I go to sleep in the middle of the afternoon, that's for a bit of a shluff. I fall asleep during a daf yomi shir at 9:10 on a Sunday morning. Do I have to say Shema before I fall asleep in the shir? That's the first question. So what does it mean? You know, b'shoch b'cha uv kumecha. How should I understand that? That's what we're referring to. That's, and also it's b'shoch b'cha uv kumecha. We've got it in that order in the pasuk. The pasuk starts off with the nighttime Shema, the sleeping Shema, and then goes on to the getting up Shema. V'hachi k'tani. And this is what the Tana was learning. Zman kriyat Shema dishchiva. The time for kriyat Shema when one goes to sleep, aim at, when does it begin? And the answer is Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasin Lechol B'Trumatan, from the time that the Kohanim start to eat their or go in to eat their Truma. What does it mean they go in to eat their Truma? That means that they were Tamei, they went to the mikveh. That they still can't eat truma until nightfall. So they've come in, either it's come into the house, or according to other Rishonim, it means they've come in to the city, because the mikveh was outside the city, and they've now come back from the mikveh, and they've come into the city. They're now able to eat truma because it's nighttime. V'bayitema, if you want, I could say, yalif mibriyato shel olam, that the reason why we learn it in this order, starting with the nighttime Shema, is simply because that's the, look at the way the world was created, dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'yere v'yvokeh yom echad. We know that the days were created, night followed by daytime. So, okay, so that's great. So now I understand why we're starting off with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema of the nighttime. However, Ihachi, if that's the case, Sefer Diktani, the latter part of this Mishnah, which appears in the Gemara as a separate Mishnah on Daf Yud Alef, we learn in the Mishnah there, B'Shachar, where we're learning about the order of the brachot of Kriyat Shema, it says, B'Shachar Mavarif Shtayim Lefaneh V'Achat Lachareha, in the morning, you say two brachot beforehand and one bracha after. afterwards, uva erev mvareich, and in the evening you say shtaim lefaneha, shtaim lachareha, two brachot beforehand and two afterwards. Litnei d'arvit bereisha. Why does it, if the mitzvah of kriyat shema is nighttime first, followed by daytime? So why, when we're talking about the brachot of kriyat shema, don't we start with the nighttime Shema and go on to the daytime Shema? We reverse the order. We've just had, you know, 3-4 lines in the Gemara explaining to us why the nighttime Shema comes before the daytime Shema. And then in the next Mishnah, we ignore that and we do it in the wrong order, as it were. So we answer Tana Patach Ba'arvit. So the Tana started in our Mishnah dealing with Maariv, Vahadar Tani Bereisha, and then Shachrit, and then taught about the morning Shema, and Ad Tekai B'Shachrit, whilst it was dealing with Shachrit, Parish Mili de Shachrit explains all the issues of Shachrit, Vahadar Parish Mili de Arvit, and then went back to explain the dinim of Arvit. It's that, I think in a literary sense, it's what we would call an ABBA structure, meaning that we're dealing with the dinim of the evening, or we touch on the dinim of the evening, then we touch on the dinim of the morning, then we want to expand a bit. So whilst I'm talking about the morning, let me just tell you the rest of the dinim to do with the morning, and then that will go back to the evening dinim. So that's the that's the reason why in the next mission of the order is reversed. That wasn't on the daf. Amamar. So we said previously, this term Amamar comes up very frequently through Shas. It's taking us back to a previous point. I was once spent a couple of months in the yeshiva in Moscow. That's about nearly 30 years ago. That's when I was teaching somebody that Suginit had Amamar. That's, and I said this was like sort of going back to the original point. He'd learnt all his English from BBC World Service. And he said to me, like on the news, and they said, now back to the main points. That's so Amamar. Mishah shakonim nichnasin lecho b'trumatan. Okay, we said the time that you can say Shema in the evening is the time from which the Kohanim that come in to eat their truma. That so mikadi kohanim emat kaachle truma. So we want to know when is it that the kohanim come in to eat their truma. Mishat seita kochavim. So the answer is at seita kochavim at night time. That's when the stars come out. That's when they come to eat their truma. So if that's the case, Moirai for our boy side, there are easier ways of saying things. Litni mishat seita kochavim. Why doesn't the Mishnah simply say, the time to say Kriyat Shema in the evening is the time of seita kochavim? So we answer, milta agav orche kamashmalat. Wants to try and teach us, by the way, teach us another din as well. Kohanim emat ka'achle bitruma. When is it that the Kohanim eat their truma? Mishat seita kochavim. That's from the time of seita kochavim. So it's able to teach us two dinim for the price of one. That's it's like learning daf, the first daf of the Gemara. By the end you finish daf bet, you finish page two. So can achieve two things in one go. So by telling us that the time for evening Shema is Mishah Shakonim Nechnasim Nechol Bitrumatan, we're able to learn two dinim together. Vahaka mashmalan, and this is the side din that the Gemara is teaching us, the kapara lo ma'akva. That now what we mean by kapara here is we mean the ability to bring your or bringing of one's korbanot lo ma'akva isn't critical. Meaning a kohen who became tameh will very often have to do two things. He'll have to go to the mikvah, and he'll also, depending on what type of tum and what he wants to do, but he'll have to have ashes sprinkled on him, etc. But he also has to bring korbanot. So we've got two stages, if you like. We've got the liquid stage and the animal stage, if you want to put it that way. So there's going to the mikveh, and there's also bringing the korbanot. Now, I might have thought that the kohanim can't eat their truma until they've done both of those things. Kamashmalan, this is what it's coming to teach us. No, that's not the case. The kohen can go to the mikveh, has to wait for Harav Shemesh, has to wait for it to get dark. Then he can eat his truma. He's still got to bring a korban, but that's a chiyuv on him, but that's not restricting him from eating truma. Kedatanya, we've got a brighter. This is quoting a pasuk. That's Uvah Hashemesh v'taher. So you've got the kohen who became that's. Well, the person who became Tameh, that so he has to immerse, that's on the seventh day, Uvah HaShemesh, and then the sun will set, the Taher, now, we'll translate it now as the Taher, and he becomes pure. That we'll retranslate it momentarily. What we're seeing is, and this links in very nicely with the shiurim we had towards the end of Masechet Nida, that's on Shabbat afternoons, where we said the din of a zava, a classical zava, is that they can go to the mikveh in the daytime, but their full process of purification doesn't happen till nighttime, meaning their shiva nakiyim can be cancelled. That's if they bleed again before nighttime. So here also the kohen that can go to the mikveh during the day, but it doesn't become effective, if you like, until nighttime. That's so good. The time of Vahashemish v'taher means biat shimshor. It's the sun setting mark vatom ilechol b'truma. That's what prevents him from eating truma. Ve'en chaparatom mark vatom ilechol b'truma. And it's not the bringing of the korbanot that prevents him from eating truma. So that's great, except the Gemara says, who's to say that's the correct understanding of the pasuk? Umimayda hayuvah ha-shemesh biyat ha-shemesh. How do we know that when it says Uvah HaShemesh, what does Uvah HaShemesh literally mean? The sun will come. That's how do we know that it means Uvah HaShemesh means the sun will come? V'hai v'taher, and the word v'taher, now we've translated it till now as being pure, but the Gemara understands it is taher yoma, the day is wiped clean, that's all, the day is wiped away, it's finished. Dilma, that's, okay, so that's 2,711 times 2 with that much through so far. Dilma, biat orohu. Perhaps it means biat oroh. Look at Rashi, top of the page. That's sheyeor hashemish biyom hashmini. Perhaps meaning when the sun comes, means when the sun comes up rather than the sun comes down. Maybe the Kohen can't eat truma until sunrise on the eighth day. That's v'yitar ha'ishatz mor b'havat korbonotav. And then the person will make himself Tahor by bringing his korbanot on the eighth day, but achar yochal, and then he can eat truma because he can't bring his korbanot till the eighth day, and maybe the whole thing means that he can't eat truma till the eighth day, meaning uvah hashemesh. That means the sun will rise, the taher, and he'll bring his korbanot. That's so Dilma biat orohu umay v'taher. What does the taher mean? Taher gavra. Now taher gavra, I would have translated as meaning the person becomes tahor. That's but Rashi says v'yitair ha'ishatz mor b'hava at korbanotav. The person will purify himself by bringing his korbanot. So Amar Rabba Barav Shila. Rabba Bar Rav Shila said, "In kein lema kra v'yitar." If that's the case, the pasuk should have said v'yitar. That's which would have been more instructive. My v'taher, what does it mean v'taher? Taher is more descriptive, meaning taher yoma, I mean the sun sets and the day is white to clear. Kida amre inshe, as people say, this is an Aramaic phrase, the arev shimsha, the sun has set, v'ad ke yoma, and the day has passed. Look there at Rashi, third wide line at the top, that's idke l'shon avar, nitpane min ha'olam ha'shemesh. The sun has passed out of sight from the world. So therefore, we're establishing that is really what it means. Uvah HaShemesh v'taher. That's the sun sets and the day is finished, and then the person can eat his truma. B'ma'arava in the West, i.e. in Eretz Yisrael, Hadon Rabba Bar Rav Shila lo shmi'a lehu. They'd never heard exactly what Rabba Bar Rav Shila had said. Ubaula mi'bai, and they asked the question themselves and answered it themselves. themselves. Ha'uvah ha'shemesh, where it says the uvah ha'shemesh, bi'at shimshohu, does it mean that the sun sets? Umay v'taher, and what does it mean, v'taher, taher yomah, that the day is wiped clean? Or dilma, perhaps bi'at orohu, perhaps it means that the sun is rising the next day. Umay v'taher, and what does it mean, v'taher? Taher gavra, that's that the person becomes taher by bringing his korbanot. V'hada pashtu lami brighter, and they answered it from a brighter, midiktani bivraiter, because the brighter says, siman nadavar, what's an indication of when the person can eat his truma, seita kochavim, that's when the stars come out. Shmamina, we infer from that, biat shimshohu, that vahashemesh means sunset. We should point out that Rashi says, what does sunset mean? Sunset means the end of sunset, i.e., seita kochavim. Umay v'taher, what does it mean v'taher? Taher yoma, the day is wiped clean. So the day has come to an end, which is when you can eat the korbanot. So Amamar, we said in the Mishnah that the earliest time for Kriyat Shema in the evening is Mishasha Kohanim Nechanasin Lechol B'Trumatan. It's from the time that the Kohanim come in to eat their Truma. Or a Minhu, but we can bring a contradiction now from a Brighter. There's a Brighter that says, Meimatai Korinet Shema Ba'arvin, when do we say Shema in the evening? Mishaha Ani Nechnas Lechol Pito B'melach. From when an Ani comes in, a poor person comes in, to eat their bread and salt, which is what they have for dinner. Ad shasha omedli patem mitoch su'udato, until the time that he gets up from the table. Now, Sefer Vadai Pligamatnit, in the end of that brighter, definitely argues against our Mishnah, because we've got a new time now for the latest time for saying Shema in the evening. It's by the time the Ani, the poor person, has finished eating his dinner. That's not a very long period of time. It's neither a third of the night, certainly not a half a night, and Kavah Chomer, it's not the whole night. It's just however long an Ani takes to eat his bread and salt. So that's definitely arguing against our Mishnah. Reisha milema pligeyat mitnitim. But perhaps the first part, which says the earliest time for saying Shema is when the Ani, the poor person, comes in to eat his dinner, maybe that's not arguing against the Mishnah. So on the face of it, we've got a machloket between the Mishnah on the brighter. The Mishnah says the earliest time is Seita Kochavim. This says the earliest time is when the Ani comes to eat his meal. Now, it's a little bit unclear from this, that what is the earliest time that the Ani comes to eat his meal? Is that earlier than Seita Kochavim, or is it later than Seita Kochavim? So looking in Rashi, Rashi says that it's the third narrow line, Mishah Ani, when the Ani comes in, She'ein lo ner lahadlik bisudato. He's poor, so he can't afford a lamp to light that for his suda. So he's going to be eating earlier, whilst it's still, you know, not broad daylight, but, you know, before it's pitch black, he wants to be able to eat so that he can have his suda. The Meiri says that we can see from the sugya later on, this is actually a later time, and he says a later time than Seita Kochavim, but it's still earlier than other times, but Misha Ani, that's that the Ani eats before other people. Why? Because the Ani hasn't got a lot to prepare. All it is a loaf of a slice of bread and a bit of salt. There's a limit to how much, you know, presentation you can do. Now, if you want it soldiers, triangles, that's or cut into roses, or the Alei Tzion tree, that, you know, whatever it is. There's a limit to, you know, to what you can really do with, you know, so anybody else having a three-course meal, it takes them, you know, a while to prepare the meal. If you're just having a slice of bread and salt, it's very quick. In any event, on the face of it would seem that we've got a machloket between the Mishnah and the Brighter. So we say, Reisha milema pligei amatnitin. That should we say that the first part is arguing against the Mishnah? Lo, ani v'chohen chad shi'uraho. In actual fact, Ani and a Kohen, there's different ways of saying the same thing. That the Ani comes in to eat his meal at Seita Kochavim, he can sit down right away because he doesn't have to pull anything, he doesn't have to cook anything. That's Seita Kochavim, that's nightfall. So it's two ways of saying the same thing. or a minhu, but we can now bring a contradiction from another from another writer, from a Tosefta, that says, which says, from when do we start to read that Kriyat Shema? Here it's Ba'arvit in the evening. Mishah shebnei adam nichnasin lechol pitan ba'arve shabbatot, divrei Rabbi Meir. So we're going to see that we've got two opinions here. The first is that Rabbi Meir says that's the time when people come to eat their Friday night meal, and that's an earlier time. And the Chachamim say it's when the Kohanim are able to eat their truma. Siman davar tzeitakochavim, and a siman for what that is tzeitakochavim. When the stars come out, that's when the Kohanim can eat their truma. Now we're going to say parenthetically, vafal pishein rayal davar zeichel davar. Now, we just want to show, parenthetically, how we know that Seit HaKochavim is the end of the day. So we don't have an explicit proof for it. We've got some sort of remez. We've got a pasuk in Nehemiah, which is talking about where they were building the walls of Yerushalayim when the exiles returned. V'anachnu osim bamlacha, we were doing the work. V'chetziam machazikim birumachim, and half of the people were standing with spears to protect us. Me'alot ha'shachar ad Seit HaKochavim. So we were working from the from dawn till nightfall. V'omer, and the pasuk says, v'hayulanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha, and the night was a time when we guarded everything, but the daytime was when we did the melacha. So we see that the melacha was done during the daytime, and that was from alot hashachar till tzeit hakochavim. My v'omer, and why do we need that second pasuk of v'omer? V'chi tema, because you might have said michi arva shimsha l'Eliyahu. In actual fact, nightfall is sunset is already night time. V'inhu d'machash keum akadme, but they were particularly eager and they worked longer hours. They started before day had really started, and they finished after the day had really ended. Tashma, that's why the pasuk says v'haya lanu halayla lemishmar v'hayom melacha. We did work during the day, and we didn't work at night. So, and it's telling us when day and night was. So therefore, night is at Seit HaKochavim. So that's parenthetical. In any event, what we have here is we have a machloket against our Mishnah, because we said here that, according to Rabbi Meir, at least Rabbi Meir said that we can say Shema from Shah Shebnei Adam Nichnasin Lechol Pitam Ba'arvei Shabbatot. Katzal Kedatach Da'ani Uvnei Adam Chad Shi'urahu. Now, I might well assume that the same time for Ani, a poor person, when he can eat the when he eats his meal, is the same time that Bnei Adam, that people come in on a Friday afternoon to eat their meals. I might have assumed that's the same time. V'yamart ani v'chayin chadshiurahu. But if you also say that the time that a poor person eats his meal in the evening is the same as the time that a Kohen can eat his truma, i.e. at Seit HaKochavim, then Chachamim hainu Rabbi Meir. We're in a bit of a pickle here, because the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir are saying exactly the same thing. Meaning, in this brighter, we've got a machloch between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. They're saying different things. Right? Rabbi Meir is saying that the earliest time for saying Shema is at when you eat on a Friday night. The Chachamim are saying the earliest time for saying Shema is at nightfall. Previously, we established that the time that an Ani eats is earlier, or is a different time to nightfall. But now we're assuming that probably that, you know, an Ani eats a bit earlier, and people eat on Friday night a bit earlier, so that the time that an Ani eats and the time that most people eat their Friday night dinner, that is the same time. In which case, then that's going to be exactly the same as what the Chachamim are saying, because we said that an Ani eats at the Seit HaKochavim, and if an Ani eats at the same time that people eat on Friday night, that means people eat on Friday night at Seit HaKochavim, which means there's no machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So the Tosfot addresses the question why we're making that assumption that the Annie and the and everybody else eat at the same same time, or at least on Friday nights everybody eats at the same time, says that we don't want to make the earliest time for Kriyat Shema too early in the evening. So in any event, we've now got a problem if we're making that assumption. So we answer that Ela Shmamina Ani Shi'ura L'chud, the Kohen Shi'ura L'chud. So in that's the case, we have to assume that the time that an Ani comes in to eat, a poor person comes to eat, is different to the time that Kohanim can eat their Truma. But if that's the case, we're then left with a problem because we've got a machloket between the Braita and our Mishnah. So we answer, look, that's not the case. Ani v'Kohen Chad Shi'ura Hu. We can go back to saying that an Ani and a Kohen both eat at the same time, i.e. at Seita Kochavim. V'Ani v'Nei Adam Lav Chad Shi'ura Hu, but an Ani, a poor person, and Bnei Adam, people on a Friday night, that's different times, and therefore we've still got the we've got all the right machlakot. That Tzlach asks the question. This Reb Yaakov Emden asks the question. Hold on, when we touched on this yesterday afternoon in the shir, Tzlach asks the question: How can a Kohen eat his truma straight away at Seita Kochavim? That's because don't you have to? We'll learn later on. You have to say Shema before you eat dinner. So how could the Kohen eat his truma before saying Shema? If the earliest time for saying Shema is Seita Kochavim, how can he eat his truma there? So the answer that Tzlach gives is that eating truma is a mitzvah. And therefore you're allowed to do a mitzvah before you say Kriyat Shema. So a couple of observations on that. Observation number one is interesting in the sense that even though it's a mitzvah kiyumit, meaning it's an optional mitzvah, nevertheless we'll say that overrides the impetus to say Kriyat Shema first. Second of all, I've got a kasha on it, that what about Tadir Shein or Tadir? And thirdly, I would have thought a straightforward answer to the question is simply to say that it doesn't mean that the Kohen has to eat Truma there. It means in theory, were it not for the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is coming from a different perspective, he could eat Truma. He could eat Truma if he didn't have to say Kriyat Shema. But he has to say Kriyat Shema, but that's preventing him from another perspective. So the Gemara carries on, V'ani v'Kohen chachi urahu, is the Ani and the Kohen really the same time? Or a Minhu, we can bring a contradiction. When can we start saying Shema in the evening? When Shabbat comes in, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua Mem Shashakonim Matoharim Lechol Betrumatan. That's Rabbi Yoshua says, that's when the Kohanim become Tahor, that they can eat their Truma. And Rabbi Meir Omer Mishasha Kohanim Tovlin Nechol B'Trumatan. Rabbi Meir says earlier, when the Kohanim go to the Mikveh, which is towards the end of the day, that's to eat their Truma. Close followers of the text will notice that we've had three Lashonot for when the Kohanim can eat their Truma. We said one was Mishen Nichnasu HaKohanim, when they come in. One was Shezaka'in, they've got the right to. And the other here is Mutoharim. Amalo Rabbi Yehudas. Rabbi Yehudas said to Rabbi Meir, Palo Kohanim Mibod Yom Heng Tovlim, don't the Kohanim go to the mikveh whilst it's still day? How can they say Shema whilst it's still day? We don't answer the question yet. We'll answer it in a few moments' time. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Misha She'ani Nichnas Lechol Pito B'melach. Rabbi Chanina says when the Ani comes in to eat his bread in salt. Rabbi Achai V'Amrei La. Rabbi Acha Omer, Misha She'rov B'nei Adam Nichnasin Lehaseif. The time when most people come in to eat their evening meal. So we see five shitot there, what the earliest time is for saying Shema. V'yamart Ani V'choin Chad She'u. But if you say that an Ani and a Kohen are the same time, then Rabbi Chanina, Hainu Rabbi Yoshua, then Rabbi Chanina, who said from the time that the Ani comes in to eat his bread, and Rabbi Yoshua, who said that's when the Kohanim are able to eat their Truma, they're saying the same thing. So we have to come to the conclusion that the time that an Ani eats his meal is different to the time when the Kohanim can eat their Truma, and therefore we indeed have a machloket between the Mishnah and the Braita. We want to know which of these times is the latest. Mistavra, it makes sense to say, da'ani ma'uchar, that the time when an ani can eat is the latest time. Di'amar da'ani mukdam, because if we say that the ani was an earlier time, then we'd be back to Rabbi Chanina, hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer said, the earliest time is when Shabbat comes in. You can't have earlier than that. And Rabbi Chanina is saying when the ani eats, so it's going to, we're going to lose a machloket. And lav shmamina, can we not infer from that, da ani mu'uchar shmamina, the latest time is when the ani eats. Amar, that every daf yomi shir you hear online always moves very fast with the last few lines, because they realize they're running out of time and we need to get a couple more lines done. Amar, amale Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, v'halo kohanim ba'od yom heim tovlim, that's, don't the kohanim go to the mikvah whilst it's still daytime. How can you say Shema so early? Shakbik amale Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda is saying something very good kasha to Rabbi Meir. V'Rabbi Meir, hachika amale, and this is what Rabbi Meir would say in response, Misavar da'ana abein hashmashot didach ka'amina. Do you think I'm talking about your definition of bein hashmashot? I.e., there's a machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about what the definition is of bein hashmashot, that's of twilight. Rabbi Yehuda has a long period of bein hashmashot. Say it very simply. Rabbi Meir saying, do you think I'm following your long period of bein hashmashot? I'm not following your long period of bein hashmashot at all. That's ana abein hashmashot to Rabbi Yossi ka'amina. I'm following Rabbi Yossi's definition of bein hashmashot, which is very short. Da'ama Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says bein hashmashot keherevayin. The bein hashmashot is really just the wink of an eye. Ze nichnas ze yotze. Bein hashmashot is mamash just before nightfall. V'yeshar la'amod alav. You can't even put your finger on it. So therefore, it's not a problem there. Nevertheless, kasha to Rabbi Meir adu Rabbi Meir. We've still got a kasha of Rabbi Meir seeming to contradict himself. Look at Rashi at the top. That's Le'el Amar Mishar Shebnei Adam Nichnasin Nechol Pitam Ba'arvei Shabbatot. That previously Rabbi Meir said, what's the earliest time you can say Shema when people come to eat their meal on Friday nights? Hushio Mucha Mishel Kohen, which is later than Seita Kochavim, V'hacha Amar Mishat Tevila. And now he's saying that it's the when you immerse in the mikveh, Shei Kodem Bein Hashmashot, which is earlier. So we answer, Trei Tanai Alibad Rabbi Meir. We've got two Tanaim reporting Rabbi Meir in different ways. Furthermore, Kashid Rabbi Eliezer ad Rabbi Eliezer. We've got a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer, it seems. That's because the Brightus has Rabbi Eliezer saying one thing, and the Mishnah said differently. The Brighter had Rabbi Eliezer saying that it's from Shah Shekidesh Hayom Ba'arve Shabbatot, whereas the Mishnah seemed to indicate that Rabbi Eliezer said that the time that you say Shema is Teitah Kochavim. So one answer would be Trei Tanai Alibad Rabbi Eliezer, that we've got two Tanaim reporting Rabbi Eliezer in different ways. The Ibayat Eima Reisha Lav Rabbi Eliezer here. Or we could say the first part of the Mishnah is not actually Rabbi Eliezer, the first part of the Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. And then Rabbi Eliezer talks about the latest time, but the earliest time is not reported in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Ad-